يكون عن خلقات ايش من دمو
ربنا says die you should know שיש צדיק גדול מאוד, there is a very very great צדיק שאין העולם יוכל לסבול קדושתו, who's so great that the world is not capable, the world cannot stand his kedusha, cannot handle his level of kedusha, al kein hu misale ma'id, and that's why this tzaddik hides himself very very much. There is a tzaddik who's very very great, his light is so powerful. When we say a tzaddik is very great, what do we mean? What aspect of the tzaddik? We're talking about the light of the tzaddik. His light is so great that the world can't handle so bright a light, or so heavy a light in a sense. And Rabbeinu Zal says, Al-Kain hu misalei moed. Therefore, for the benefit of the world, this tzaddik hides himself tremendously. Ve'ein ro'yim imenu shum kedusha u'prishus yisera. And people do not observe on the part of this tzaddik any extra kedusha or any extra precious. In other words, to the person's regular eye, they wouldn't see, they wouldn't notice any outstanding characteristic about this tzaddik, because the tzaddik has hidden himself so well. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ze machmas goydel kedushosei moed," and this is because of the incredible level of kedusha that this tzaddik is on, that he's forced to do this. He's forced to go into hiding, in a sense. And we're going to see soon how this relates to other items. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh b'chinas." This is what the Mishnah says: "Niyodayim kol hashirim kodesh, v'shir hashirim kodesh kadoshim." The Mishnah says there that Shlomi HaMelech made many sforim. Shlomi HaMelech, who was the chacham ha'oid mikol adam ha'shal pnei adamo, he was the smartest person. And the Mishnah says there that all the different shirim that exist in the Torah, shiras devoira, shiras hayam, all different shiras are on a very high level, because we learned in a previous Torah that negina is something that's on a very high level. Shir hashirim is called kodesh kodoshim. That's the highest level of kedusha. Nimtza, we see from that Mishnah that shir hashirim hu kodesh ma'oid yoyser harbe mikol hasforim. That the Sefer Shir HaShirim is so outstandingly holy that it's much holier than the other Sifrei Kodesh. V'hinei motzinu, and we find Shlomi HaMelech Olav HaShalom Chiber Shlisha Sforin. We find that Shlomi HaMelech composed three books, three Sforin. Mishlei, Koheles, v'Shir HaShirim. Those are the three Sforin. U'be'emes, and in truth, Mishlei v'Koheles hein kulam meleim musar v'ira shamayim ma'oid. The Sforim Mishlei and Koheles are filled, saturated with tremendous musar and yira shamayim. You look throughout the Gemara, throughout Shas, they're constantly quoting from Mishlei and Koheles items of musar. U'matzino bahem tevois kedusha v'taharo kama pomim. And you'll observe in these Sforim, in Mishlei and Koheles, throughout them, you find many words related to Kedusha and Tahara. You find the actual term Kodesh and Tor found in those Sforim in several places. Avol b'shir hashirim, but in the Sefer Shir hashirim, einoi nimtza tevois Kedusha v'Tahara klal. The word Kodesh or Tor or anything that would resemble that is not to be found whatsoever. Poik. Ayin v'tishkach. Go out, study, and you'll find that you'll see very clearly that this is the case. Shebechol sefer shir hashirim ein nimtza shom bechol ha-sefer shum tevas kodesh v'tor. That throughout the entire sefer of shir hashirim there is not found any term that relates to kodesh or tor in any obvious manner. V'ze machmas goydel oitzem kiddushosoy. And that's because of the incredible high level of kedusha that's found in Shir HaShirim. That's why Einom Royim Shom Shum Kedusha. That's why we don't find there any obvious kedusha. Al Kain Einay Nimsa Shom Tevois Kedusha Tara Klal. That's why we don't see any kedusha there, and therefore you don't find any words that obviously are related to Kodesh V'Tor, although the whole Sefer Shir HaShirim has the highest Musar in it that's to be found in any Sforim at all. The Sifrei Kabbalah, the Zohar HaKadosh, other Sforim reference the Sefer Shir HaShirim to bring out the highest concepts of Musar conceivable. Moshcheini Achrecho Narutzo, Hashem bring me close to me, the terms of love that are spoken there between the Chosn and the Kala, those terms apply to Hashem and the Jews, and the way the Sifrei Kabbalah expound on it to show all the lessons of Musa that are to be learned there is incredible. Although, in any obvious form, we don't see any obvious Kedusha. Now you'll note, interestingly, in the Tikkuni Zohar, the Tikkuni Zohar brings with this, we can understand one of the brachas that we make every morning. We say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Alekeinu Melech Haolam, Yoitzer Oir, Uvayrei Choshech, Ayiseh Shalom, Uvayrei Sakoyom. Those who are familiar with the basics that are found in the Sifrei Kabbalah, you know that there are four Olamos. Atzilus is the highest world, Bria is the next highest, Yetzira is the third, Asiya, the world that we're in, is the lowest of the four worlds, which means that between Yetzira and Bria, Bria is certainly higher, it's infinitely higher. The analogy between the two is that Yetzira is called the Olam HaMalachim, that's the Olam in which the Malachim reside. Bria is the world of the Kisei HaKavod of Hashem, which we just spoke about. We had many shiurim recently to show the difference in level, the fact that Tshuva relates to the Olam HaBriya, it's something that goes way above the Malachim. Menashe HaMelech, who did Tshuva, and his Tshuva bypassed the Malachim, it was able to get through via the Kisei HaKavod. The Tikkun Ezer says, if that's the case, then why do we say Yetzer Oyer Uvayrei Choshech? To Yetzira, we apply the term Oyer. To Bria, we apply the term Cheshech. If Bria is higher, then we should say about Bria a much higher term than Oyer, than we say about Yetzira. The Tikkun Ezer answers that to a person looking from this world, because of the level that we're on, to us, we can appreciate the value of the Oyer in Yetzira. That to us looks like light. Because Bria is so far above us, to us, that appears as Cheshech. In truth, it's an infinitely higher light. But for example, the Tikkun Ezer says a person looking at the sun, let's say a person looking at something that the sun is shining on, you see light. If you stare at the sun itself, what do you see? Blackness. In other words, it gets black in front of your eyes. Why? Machmas goydel ho'oyer. Because the light is too bright. The light is so bright that it has an appearance, if you're not capable of handling it, it has an appearance of Cheshech. But the Tikkun Ezer says that's why we say Yetzer Oyer Cheshech. The Cheshech that's applied to Bria is a much, much higher level than the Oyer that we use to refer to Yetzirah. And that's exactly the concept that we're talking here. This tzaddik that you're looking at, he's on such an infinitely high level that he's capable of concealing, he's capable of hiding so well, he's capable of putting on an appearance of an ish pashut, and yet being on such a high level that the oyer is actually there. But he's able to be mitzamtzem it, to constrict it, to be able to have it in a form that's handleable within this olam hagashmi. And the Rabbeinu is all about this. It's brought, interestingly, in Chaim Aran, this Torah, Rabbeinu Zal said to his Talmidim, it's brought in Chaim Aran. Echod Shu'al Isai, one of Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim asked him, Im Efsher Sheyiyah HaTzadik Godel B'malo, is it possible for a tzadik to be on a very high level? Afal pi she'ein roi mimenu yegiyos v'uvdis b'izgalya, kamay sheroi mitzadik achar, sho'isai b'izgalya uvdis kedoshis. Is it possible for a tzaddik to be on a very, very high level, although you don't see in any obvious manner, in watching him, you don't see him doing any outstanding items, Navidus Hashem, as you possibly see by another tzaddik, where you get to see physically, you see him doing tremendous avoda. Shemispalo b'yegiyos gedoyla is that he davens tremendously, you see physical emotion going into the tefillah, whereas another tzaddik, you see him, you don't see these things from him. Is it possible for him to be on a very high level? Heshivloi, Rabbeinu Zal responded and said, Bevadai efshir, certainly it's possible. V'yochoi liyos, and it's possible, Shezeh ha-tzadik shemaskir atzmoi, that this tzadik who hides himself, Ve'ein royen mimenu be'izgalyo uvdois gedoylois, and you don't get to see in any obvious form the tremendous avodas from him, He, it's possible for him to be on a much higher level than this tzaddik where you get to see the avodah, it's obvious to you. And Rabbeinu Zal explained this al pisoid. Rabbeinu Zal said, Ki yesh shnei shemois. There are two names of Hashem, Shem Havaya, the Shem Adni. There's Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Hashem's name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The Shem Havaya Beheram Ubehester. Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei is hidden. We're not permitted to say it in a clear manner in this world. Ki osur likrois bo, it's osur to pronounce the name of Hashem. Aval Shem Adni Beizgalya. But Hashem's name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, that's in a much more obvious form, and you're permitted to say it. Ubevadai Shem Havayot Godol Yoiser Harabe Mishem Adni. And we know for a fact that Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei is considered on a much, much higher level than Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That's when Rabbeinu Zal was talking about this. This is when he revealed this Torah Resh Mem Gimel, where he explained the difference between Shir Hashirin versus other levels. That at times, when we climb up to higher and higher levels of Kedusha, the highest level is the one that's most hidden. Keser, when we talk about the Spheres, what is Keser? Keser is a crown. Keser is Shtika. Chachma is Pasach, but Tikkun HaZohar says Chachma, the Nekuda for Chachma is Pasach. Pasach means open. It's visible. You can see there. Keser is Kometz. Kometz means hidden. The Hester, hidden, closed up. The Mufla Mimcha al Tidrosh, ubeMechusa Mimcha al Tachra. Mechusa, it's covered up, it's hidden. Rabbi Nizal lets you know here, you should know that at times, the bigger the tzaddik, the more hidden he is. Proof is, what better proof do you need than Moshe Rabbeinu? If Moshe Rabbeinu were one where you saw blinking lights from him and everything like that, would it have been conceivable for people to go out and say the things about him that they did, that he's a Bar Gaiva, and they accused him of being Mizana with their wife, Rachmona Litzlan, all kinds of things. Why? Obviously, because there was a Hester. We find in the Torah Beferish that Hashem told him to put a masver on his face. He had to put a cover on his face. Why? Because the light of his face was too bright that people couldn't look at him. So Hashem issued a command that he had to cover his face so that people should be able to handle a light. At the same time, once the tzaddik is nisalim, it makes it much more difficult to find him, number one. It makes it much more difficult for one who's distant from him to find him. And for those who are close to him, it presents a whole different test in being able to really find him. Because Rav Nosson Zal says on Kutei Halachos that this is a search that never ends. A person has to be mispal his whole life to be zecher to come close to the tzaddik emes. And if a person feels that he has already found for himself a tzaddik emes, a rebbe emes, that's when he first has to begin davening to be zeichet to find that tzaddik, meaning to be zeichet to find the light to that tzaddik, to be able to take out from that tzaddik as much as he possibly can. Just one second. Rav Nosson Zal says, look at the halachos, that this also corresponds to the Yom Tov of Purim. We know that the Gemara says Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is coming up now. How holy is Yom Kippur? The Gemara says that Yom Kippur is called Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim. It's a day that's like Purim. It's not as holy as Purim. It's similar in holiness to Purim, which means Purim is higher than Yom Kippur. It's such a high level of Kedusha. We find that Purim Bedafka cannot come out on Shabbos. It only comes out during the week. And it's a time bedafka when it's mutar ba'asiyas malacha, meaning that the Kedusha Purim, you see, it's something that's hidden, it's not an obvious form. It's a day where you're pretty much even permitted to go to work, you're permitted to turn on lights and everything. You're even permitted to do more gashmias than on a regular day. On a regular day, you're permitted to be gashmi, you're permitted to eat and drink, but getting drunk is considered sinful. Purim, the Kedusha is so high that it goes into such a level of hastara that the mitzvah of Purim is getting drunk, which in a sense is so base an item, and yet it's so high a Kedusha that that's the level of hastara. Note the heroine in Purim is Esther Amalka, this whole name of hastara. This Kedusha, which is so hidden that it's on a much, much higher level than all the regular Kedushas that we have. If you recall, we once mentioned that in the word Purim, you find Marumas in it, all the other Yomim Tovim. The Pei stands for Pesach. Just a second. Pesach. The Resh Yud Mem is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. The Mem is Matan Torah, which is Shavuos. And the Vav is Vesukos. Pesach, Vesukos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Matan Torah. The Mem is Matan Torah. All Nichlam, the Kedusha of Purim, which is considered one of the highest level Yom Tovim, and yet it's so hidden. Any questions?
If two tzaddikim answer, they say that there's one tzaddik and all his avodah was hidden, but all the things did chatzais and that, and somebody mimicked them exactly. Mm-hmm. What differentiates, you say the biggest tzaddik in the world is someone mimics everything he does from this time, and that, and that. What makes him so far apart? Is it just the actions itself, or is it something in what they do that makes it different?
The answer is, in Torah Rishonim Hey that's coming, we're going to have a little, we're going to touch on that, and we're going to explain that a little bit better. Period. Huh? Excuse me? The question was, let's say, we see people who are tzaddikim, and we see, for example, that part of being a tzaddik means getting up for chatzos, it means maintaining a certain kind of schedule. If you get another person who maintains that same schedule, in other words, to us, we see physically match for match. This one gets up 12:30, this one gets up at 12:30. This one says this whole tefillah, this one says this whole tefillah. And all the items being copied along the way, does that make them identical, number one? And if not, what's the distinguishing factor? How is it possible that these two can be doing the same thing, and yet are they apart? Are they not apart? Could they be apart? And if so, how do you tell them apart? And what's the difference? We're going to talk about that soon.
In the block of Yisrael and Baruch Chayshech, so if the Chayshech, Baruch Chayshech is a high one, shouldn't that be first?
No. Ma'alan Bakadesh. Ma'alan, when it comes to Kiddushi, you climb up levels. Yotze'oyu, and even Baruch Chayshech. Now it's like the Gemara, the style of the Gemara, first we tell you the smaller Kiddush and the bigger Kiddush. You understand? If we say Baruch Chayshech, then certainly Yotze'oyu. Is Yetzirah and also Bavei Chayshech, climbing up in Tishbocha, it's level of Shevach HaShem, that He created Yetzirah and He created the Bria. Baruch Hashem.
Why does it say only Yetzirah and Bria?
Because that's the levels that we're talking about at that time. Right at that point, we're connecting Yetzirah and Bria. Pesukei Dezimra corresponds to Rama Yetzirah, and from Baruch Hu on corresponds to Bria. That's where we're tying together those two. Exactly, that's an example of it. The fact that Rabbeinu Zal said that the highest level of Torah is the Sipurei Maaseis, number one. That's one example of it. We can go even better. Rabbeinu Zal said that within the Torah, this is an incredible item which people could never... You ask people about this, they could never have an explanation. And watch how Rabbeinu Zal interpreted this and observed this. Within the Torah, you have two parts. You have the obvious Torah, sort of, where the pasuk says, "Daber v'yosulehem tzitzis al kampe v'gdehem v'hoyulatay tofos." That's Torah. That's the basic Torah. Then you have that which surrounds it, sort of, meaning almost every single mitzvah in the Torah begins "Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemar, daber el Aaron vel bonav lemar, daber el bnei Yisrael v'yomarta aleihem, daber el aleihem v'am." You know, all those variations. What is that? Is that wasteful? Is it extra? Is it additional? What level is that? Rabbeinu Zal says there are two levels within the Torah. There's the regular Kiddusha, the obvious Kiddusha, which is the actual mitzvahs, the actual verbiage of the mitzvahs. And there's this Torah, there's the Torah that's found in the Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, the Ve'amarta Aleihem, which Rabbeinu Zal says is a much higher Torah. It's hidden. There the Kiddusha is hidden, where, in other words, if there weren't Chidushim, and every single time that it says, if there wasn't a difference between this Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor and this one, why would it say it twice? Why would it say it by this mitzvah and by this mitzvah? We know the Gemara says countless times, we darshan, if there's an extra Vav, we write whole Megillus on it. There's an extra vote we write Megillus, then why would it say Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor 85 times? Silly, redundant. Rabbeinu Zal says there is a Torah that's hidden there, that if a person studies the Torah deeply enough, he can be masig the Torah, the messages that are found within each and every individual Vayedaber, and how it's written, and the different variations that are applied to each and every specific mitzvah. That's one form of this. Then we have a different item that Rabbeinu Zal once told his students at one point in time, a few years before Zistalkus. Rabbeinu Zal said, "I see that you people are on such a low level, Rachman al-Salam, that after all my Torah, you still are the way you are. I'm going to have to start telling stories." And Rabbeinu Zal at that point in his life began to tell over the Sipurei Maaseis, his 13 outstanding stories that he told in his life, which, again, these stories in obvious form, they look simple, not, they don't look simple, as stories alone, they look very intricate and very complex. You can tell this isn't the work of a simpleton. But at the same time, compared to actual Torah, you would get a person looking at this and he would say, this isn't Torah. And really, this is on a much, much higher level. This corresponds to the Bechin of Shir HaShirin, this Bechin of Negin. Rav Moshe Zal, one place in Kutei Halachos, shows how a Maisa is a Bechin of a Negin. If you recall, we saw that recently. Rabbeinu Zal explains how Sipurei Maaseis is a Bechin of Negin there. He explains. So that's another example of it. Baruch Hashem. Torah Reish Mem Dalad. Rabbi Nizal says, Mi Shehu Ma'urav Bein Ha'akum, a person who finds himself being involved with Goyim, mixed with Goyim, either he lives among Goyim or he works among Goyim. Dahainu Shiesh Loi Asokim Umasomat Nemohim, he has business dealings with them. Tzorich Lishmar Atzmoi Ma'oid Ma'oid Shalayazik Loi. The person has to be tremendously careful that his association with Goyim should not harm him in any way. Because it's very, very easy for a person to become caught, ensnared in their trap. Reshes here means trap. Chas v'shalom. Lachloik atzmoy mimadregas yehadusoy, to cut himself off from, to separate himself from his level of yehadus, of religion, sheyesh loy, that he has attained. Why? Rabbi Nizal says, Ki loy dai laho odam shehu ba'olam hazeh hashofo. It's not enough that a person, a human being, a Jew, is put on this lowly world, Asher Malochim ein lohem koyach lamoid bozeh ha'olam, that even angels would find it difficult to be able to stay on their level of kedusha within this world. Kimoy shemotzino, as we find, shepamachad, one time, pamachas bo malochim bozeh ha'olam. The Torah tells us that malochim came down to this world. What were the names of the malochim?
No.
You're talking about the time of Avram Avinu. I'm talking about before that.
Right,
the Nephilim. The Zohar Kodesh mentions their names Azel and Azokel, two Malochim, and Shamchaz. The Zohar Kodesh mentions the specific names of those Malochim who came down at that time and they got tripped up with women. One second, Shamachad Bo Malochim Bozoilam Venilkadu Ma'oi, that's what Rabbi Nizal is referring to over here. He's not referring to the item, the fact that it's brought that the Malochim came to Avram, and Avram gave them meat and milk to drink. That's another example of this. But I believe Rabbi Nizal here, when he says Venilkadu Ma'oid Ma'oid, he's referring to those Malochim who got trapped on the earth and they couldn't go back up till much, much, much later. Those Malochim who came down the first time. Giants. You recall a few years ago, we once gave a Shabbos shiur on that, where we explained the whole piece about that, how and when Ayik Malach HaBoshan was born, the whole story about this specific Malach.
Is it descendants of the Nephilim?
Excuse me? Yes. That's what gave them their unusual size. Okay. So in other words, it's not enough that a person is sent down to a world like this, where even Malachim, when they came here, were able to get tripped up. That's how dangerous a place this is. Avol be'emes, but Rabbi Nizal says in truth, Yisrael yesh lohem koyach yoyser mi malochim. The Jews have a koyach that's much higher than malochim. Vehem yecholim lamoid bozeh ha'olam. And a Jew can withstand in this world ulehisgaber al ha'olam hazeh, and be able to overcome the ha'olam hazeh ulehidovek b'habor yisporach shmo, and to attach himself to Hashem. Note, the Yidden are on Avol Be'emes. Just a second. Avol Be'emes. Yisrael yesh lohem koyach yos mi malochim. Note, not Bnei Yisrael, not Yehudim, Yisrael. Why? What is the word Yisrael? How is the word Yisrael achieved? Ki sariso imelekim vatuchol. Yaakov Avinu battled against the Malach and won. That's how the Yidden achieved this title Yisrael. It shows Sar over Kael, a ruler over the Malachim. If you recall, we mentioned a few times the fact that the Zohar Kodesh says that by the Malachim, the highest Malachim in Shemayim are given that the end of their name is Resh Vav Nun. For example, the Malach Mem Tes, who's the chief rabbi, the chief of the Masechta Derekia, one of the highest Malachim in heaven, his name is Mem Tes Tes, Resh Vav Nun. There are one or two others whose names end in Resh Vav Nun. That's the highest level, because that Nur is Keneged Roimi. Roimi is the lowest level of Klipa. This Resh Nun Vav is the opposite of that in Kedusha. Very, very high level, Nahardi. Nur, Nun, Resh Vav Nun, again, a high level of Kedusha. Whereas Bnei Yisrael, the whole Jewish nation, is called Bnei Yeshurun. Bnei Yeshurun are the last letters of this Resh Vav Nun, a much higher level. What's another example of this, where the Yidden are higher than Malachim?
But saying only two words before Hashem.
Exactly. The Gemara says that Malachim are only allowed to mention Hashem's name if they precede it with three words. They must say three other words before they're permitted to say Hashem's name. Whereas the Yidden are on a much higher level, they're allowed to say Hashem's name even after two words. By the Malachim it says, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzevokos. by the Yidden, we have three examples where the Yidden are higher than Malachim. Where? By the bracha, it's Merumas, I think it's the Shlok or the Shurach Yidelzal who brings that it's Merumas, by the bracha of Habaycher Ba'ama Yisrael Ba'ava, Hashem picked Ama Yisrael. Over whom? Over everybody, even over the Malachim. What does it say before that? L'haydais l'cho, u'liyachetcho bi'ahavo, u'li'ahavo eshenecho. Those are the three proofs that the Yidden are higher than Malachim. L'haydais l'cho, u'liyachetcho, u'li'ahavo eshenecho. U'li'ahavo eshenecho is, when we say v'yahavto es, Hashem Alekecha. Note, if the two words, Uliachedcha, the Yichud, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Alekecha, Hashem Echa. L'chayda Yislecha is Baruch Kevoid Hashem is... I'm not sure whether it's Baruch Kevoid Hashem in the Kaimoi or Baruch Ato Hashem Alekecha Malachim. I'm not sure which one it is. But in any case, that's where we find that the Yidden are considered on a higher level than Malachim. So Rabbi Nizal says here, but the Yidden are on a much higher level than the Malachim, and therefore they can withstand the tests of this world. Avol li yis gamkein ma'uravim ha'akum, but to also take on the risk of being mixed together with the goyim, ze koshe ma'oi. That's very, very difficult. Al kein tzorich lishmar atzmai ma'oid ma'oid. Therefore, a person has to watch himself tremendously. Lihiyos ki yoseid chozok ba'yim, to be like a spike that's stuck into the ground very, very solidly and doesn't waver. Bal yimoit, no wavering. Mimadregas kashrusay v'yahadusay. Not to waver whatsoever from his level of kashrus and yahadus. Now note, this item in some ways it comes out in a very obvious form, and sometimes it's very subtly. For those who work together with goyim, there are certain things that you see in obvious form. Number one, the nivel peh, the filthy minds, the sheker, the lies that they speak, the fake attitude. In other words, the backstabbing, all of those items, those are things that are obvious. The food that they eat, the garbage that they eat, those are things that are obvious. There's an unobvious part of this, the fact that you don't realize that in physical, the Arizal says that a yid is totally distinguished from a goy, and that a yid has three items, nefesh, ruach, and neshama. A goy does not have a neshama physically. That metzias doesn't exist, which means you should know that this being, no matter what he is, chaside yom ha'ilam, there's still a tremendous distinction, a difference between the level of kedusha, the level of holiness that a yid is on and a goy is on. And therefore you have to know that any word that they speak generally is filled with kfira, against Hashem, or total disbelief in Hashem, or ignoring Hashem, except for the very, 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 very few among them that are religious. And even among them, you talk to them and you find that their faith in their own religion is so small and everything. Which means these are all reasons why a person has to be extremely, extremely careful when you're among them, to strengthen yourself, to gird yourself, to tighten up, to tense up, to put fences around yourself, not to allow your kedusha to be affected by them in any way, not to allow your thought, your speech, your action to be changed in any way when you mix among them, when you force to mingle among them, to keep up certain controls. Comes to going out to eat with them or other things, certain gedorim that the Chachamim established halacha-wise, just to prevent mixing with them, because it's difficult enough to maintain religion ruchnis in this olam hagashmi in general. You take it one step further and you start mixing with an actual goy, getting close to him, you should know that you're threatening your religion. Whether you realize it or not, you should know that a goy presents a threat to a Jew's frumkeit. Beware of it. Protect yourself with tefillah. Any person who's forced, who's put into this situation, is responsible for himself. You have an achrayis. How does the Gemara define the word Yehudi? Right. His level of faith in Hashem, his level of frukai, of which the kaya is emuna, kol mitzvah sech emuna. That's what it means. That was a mingling with people who are so far from emuna, and their whole life, you watch them making plans and planning years in ahead. It's very easy for a person chas v'shalom to get affected. You're taught one thing in the Torah, you go out the world, you find many people, Rachman al-Sam, people who learned in yeshivas their whole life, and people who are sheltered. They go out into the business world and they get splattered, Rachman al-Sam. The religion takes such a dive. Why? Because they weren't set up in any way to know that there exists such a barrier, that's a kaifer bakil, and you know, that kind of thing. Be aware of it. Be aware that you are on a much, much higher level. Make sure you don't lower yourself. Make sure you don't bend down to his level. Make sure you don't dive into the pigsty with him and start rolling around in the mud. don't learn from his midos, don't learn from anything like that.
Yeah. He's saying that person can learn from anything.
Oh. Obviously he's saying here that it's a big test. That a person who's on a very, very high level can learn from goyim also. But generally, the norm, the normal halacha for a person is to stay away from them, number one, and bichlal, to learn from them what not to do. Not what to do. To learn from them what not to do. That's what it
was. I'm just thinking that the Moshe Rabbi Kerr's that goes from, you know, a guy who is a Jewish Abigar is like much closer.
Right.
Thinking, you know.
What kind of level does a person have to be on to know what to answer to a Goy Shabbi gives? To be able to talk faith with a Goy. That's very, very not easy. It's not for a normal person.
Okay.
It says, huh?
No, just
I'm telling you, that's the wording in the Mishnah. Da Mashad knows you have to learn so much that you should know what to say to not be famous. It takes the repair again. And that we're going to see. Zul, the following Torah is going to answer both of your questions a little bit. That this isn't people, unfortunately, people make a certain mistake. And we're going to get to that soon. Get to a certain thing. The next Torah is very, very special in the Gudim Aram. It sets certain principles down that apply to a lot of different things.
They're going to sin, so why give them the Torah?
Right.
But the Malachim certainly, you know, you're saying the Jews can. We see the Malachim came down like
the I believe it's the Gemara, the Medrash, or the Mefarshim that bring there that that's what Moshe Rabbeinu used against them. That Moshe Rabbeinu said at the time, in other words, that the reason why Avraham Avinu tripped them up and gave them the Dafka Bosa B'Cholov was to be able to give Moshe Rabbeinu a Pisach and Tam. In other words, he plotted this whole thing so that Moshe Rabbeinu should have something against them. When they say the Jews sin, ha ha, you got it too. Avraham Avinu went out and plotted, he forced them to eat the Dafka Bosa B'Cholov so that that would quiet their machlekes against him. I saw it written, I don't remember what I saw it in a Gemara or a Medrash or one of the Mefarshim, but it's definitely written.
Well, this sounds strange, but just to mention that the point about him giving a Bosa B'Cholov, now this explains the whole thing.
Is that this was B'Dafka, the reason why he did it. Sure. That this was the reason why he did it, so that this would be the solution. In other words, he foresaw Baruch HaKadosh, there's going to come a situation where the Malachim are going to have a tremendous claim of Kitrug against the Jews. This is why he forced the Malachim to get messed up. Said, haha, you say the Jews are going to sin? Look how well you made out. You came to earth for a few minutes and already you were eating meat and milk together. Baruch Hashem. Okay, now we come to an interesting Torah, because this Torah, there was something, an incident that came up very, very recently, and I was told about something, and I wanted to comment about it in a short way, in a quiet, say something small about it, and I didn't. I held off. And when I sat down tonight to prepare what we were going to learn, and I saw this, I was so ecstatic, incredibly ecstatic, because this, what I was going to say was based on this Torah, but obviously it couldn't be said any better than learning the Torah inside. And this Torah is very, very pertinent to us and to the whole world. Rabbein Azal says, Torah Reish Mem Hei, Da, you should know, Sheyesh Chadrei Torah. There are rooms of Torah. Umi sheyzeich elohem, and a person who is zeichet to enter into these rooms of Torah, kishemaschil l'chadesh b'Torah, when this person begins to be mechadesh in Torah, who nichnas b'hachadorim, who nichnas b'hachadorim, he enters into the chadorim, into the rooms, v'nichnas mi'cheder l'cheder, hu mi'cheder l'cheder, and he goes from one room to the next room, and from that room to another room. It's an intricate maze of rooms, and one thing leads you to the next. In other words, there are doors opening up doors, mitzvah goyreres mitzvah, the Torah, one Pesach leads to another Pesach. Because each and every room has many, many doors that lead into an assortment of other rooms. And from those rooms it extends further, it branches out another level to the next level of rooms. And this person who is zeichet to climb to such a level, he enters and walks around freely in all of these rooms. Umalaket misham oitzrois, and he gathers together from there treasures, usegulois, yekorois, vachamudois, ma'oid, and very, very precious, sweet items, ashrei chelkoi, ashrei to the person that's zeichet to this. Avol, but, da, you should know, Shetzorich li zoher ma'oid. A person has to be extremely, extremely careful. Leval yiteh ba'atzmoy. Not to make a mistake. Not to make a mistake about himself. Because a person cannot be zeicha to this quickly or easily. There are many, many chidushim that do not come from this place of kedusha. They don't come from this chadrei Torah. Rak mehechle hatmurois. They chas v'shalom come from a chamber of switches, a places where things are switched around, a place of the sitra achra in heaven. Ki es ze l'umaze osalekim, because we know that Hashem created kedusha and tuma side by side. They're very, very close together. They're almost identical. Which mitzvah do we have where kedusha and tuma put side by side, where al pi halacha they're required to be identical? Yom Kippur, the highest avodah of Yom Kippur, the item which was the kapara for the whole Klal Yisrael, was where the Kohen Gadol made a gairo. He made a lottery. Soer echad l'Hashem, soer echad l'Azazel. One soer went to Hashem, one soer went to l'Azazel. And there the Gemara says in Yuma, the halacha was that both seerim had to be the same height, and they had to look the same way. It had to be very, there couldn't be any distinguishing factors between the two. And the Sifrei Kabbalah say that it's in this mitzvah that we see this remez. Ze leumas ze oso elikim. This is quoted in many sforim, this expression. Ze leumas ze oso elikim. Hashem created these two, kedusha and tuma, side by side, equal and opposite forces. The Rosh Tevos of ze leumas ze oso elikim make up the word Azazel. That's the soil. Why was this place called Azazel? They had to take this soil to a place called, why didn't they call it Chelm? Why Bedafka Azazel? There's a seed in here, there's a message in here that you should know there exists such a place which is diametrically opposed. It's equal and yet it's the opposite of the Kiddusha. It's a mokaim of the worst tumah. All the sins of Klal Yisrael were placed onto this, were transferred in a sense onto this soir, and when this was thrown off the mountain and crushed to bits, to smithereens, that was the Hamtoka Sadinim for all the sins of Klal Yisrael. This is this Zel Umazel. Rabbein Azal says, ki es ze l'uma ze oso lekim. Note, you hear a chiddush like this. When Rabbi Azal said this years ago, when I heard something like this, this alone should rocket a person to the sky. Why? Because now, number one, whenever you see this expression, es ze l'uma ze oso lekim, which is found so many places, it has a whole new chashivus, and now you understand the whole slate about Yom Kippur. This is a piece of inside information which people don't know. Rabbein Azal says, "Va'af shanid melahodam lahasoga gedayla." And although it appears to the person like a very big hasoga, this chiddush that he came upon, afal pikein, still gam shom. Even in those places, yesh chidushim noim. There are beautiful chidushim shanid men lahasogos, which appear to be hasogos. It appears to be big hasogos, not hasogos in geometry. Hasagos in Torah. We're talking about Torah here. V'gam boze yesh kamo bechinois. Rabbein Azal says in this also, there are many bechinois. We're not talking about one specific item here. There are countless levels here that we're talking about. Kamoi lamosho. Rabbein Azal says, for example, kishekois v'ntevas odom. When a person writes down on a piece of paper the Hebrew word odom, aleph dalet mem, yoidim, we know, sheze marames al demus ha'odom. A person reading that word in a book or in a newspaper or anything knows that that represents a physical form called person or human being, whatever that is. Avol, but, hurak, beremes, bialma. Not that these three letters as they appear on the paper, that is the person. That's representative of a person. That's a remes to a person. Ki ein kosov shom shum tzir hodom, because in those letters you don't find any physical attributes of the person. You don't see it in obvious form. There is a person who draws on a piece of paper, a painting, an artist, who draws an actual person. He draws or he paints a picture of a person. Vishom nigle yoiser ktsas demus hodom. There it becomes more apparent, more obvious, the form of a human being. V'yesh shemenasren tziur ha'odom echatichas eitz. There are those who carve out the form of a human from a piece of wood, three-dimensional now. V'shom nisgale oid yoiser tziur ha'odom. Now you begin to see more clearly something that resembles the physical form of a human being. Aval afal pikein, but still, even once you get a sculpture of a person, afal pikein ein ze odam mamish, that's still not a human being. That's still a very, very far cry from a human being. Rak ha'odam bi'atzmoi hu ha'odam bi'emes. It's only a person that is a person. It's only a human that is a human. You can get a painter to make the finest sculpture of a human being. Can that thing reproduce? Can that thing, can that item, can that object think? Can that object speak? So you see, it's still a very, although it's much, much closer than what's actually written on a piece of paper or a picture, it's still a very, very far cry from an actual Adam. Kamaikain Sotu Yesh Kamo Chidushin Shel Torah. Rabbeinu says there are many Chidushei Torah Shehim Rak Kamoi Pinkos. They are only like a notebook. Ukemoi Shekaisin Teva Sodom Levad. This corresponds to what we said before, meaning the physical writing of the word person or human on a piece of paper. These Chidushei Torah, compared to real Chidushei Torah, take on the form of the word, writing the word man or person on a piece of paper versus an actual physical human. Ki ha-Torah hi bechinas Odom. Rabbi Nezal says we find that Torah is a bechina of Odom. Kemoi shekosu, as the pasuk says, Zois ha-Torah Odom. Zois ha-Torah Odom ki yomus boiher. So we see that Torah is bechinas Odom. The Torah is compared to a human being. We know that just like a human being has 248 Evorim and 365 Gittin, so too correspondingly the Torah consists of 248 Mitzvot Aseh, 365 Mitzvot Lo Aseh, and the Torah is a Koimas Odom. The Sifrei Kabbalah go on to explain in detail how different parts of the Torah correspond to the different Evorim of a human being, Kaviyachol. So we see that there is an association between Odom and Torah, Zois HaTorah Odom. Rak, Rabbi Nezal says, "V'yesh shehu nichnas lifnei mizeh." There is a person who enters still deeper into the Torah, deeper than the one that we said before that we compare to writing the word Adam on a piece of paper. Aval afal pikein ein ze Adam kanal. But still, his level of understanding in Torah is not considered, is not classified as Adam. It's only when a person is zeichet to the actual Torah, zehu bechinas Odom be'emes. That's classified as Odom in truth. Vezehu, this is why the pasuk says, zois ha-Torah Odom. This is the Torah Odom. Note, the underlined word here is zois, this. In other words, it's a very restrictive, very confining term. Zois ha-Torah daika, hainu rak zois ha-Torah ha-amitius hu bechinas Odom. It's only the etzem Torah which we compare to Odom. In other words, you should know that within Torah there are a multitude of levels. And Rabbi Nezal says here that Chidushei Torah can come from one of two places, either from a Mokom of Kedusha or a Heichlei HaTmurais. And it's very, very easy, as Rabbi Nezal is going to explain soon, it's very, very easy for a person to get mixed up, Chas V'Shalom. It's very easy if a person starts mingling in this item called Chidushei Torah, it's very, very easy, Chas V'Shalom, for a person to get mixed up and take from the wrong place, Chas V'Shalom. Rabbi Nezal says, Vida, and you should know, Shekol Odom, every single person, Koidem Shemasig Batoiro Hasogo Shalemes, before a person can be Zeche, to be Masig in Torah, Ehasogov Emes, Tzorech Leilech Behechrech Derech Evo Hecholos HaTmurois. The person has to, is required, is forced to go through these Hechlei HaTmurois. As Rabbi Nezal says, hey, you should know, this is a fact. There's no one without the other. Just like a person eating a fruit in this world, is it possible to eat any fruit without going through a klipa first? The klipa, that's kodemus lepri, the shell, the outside that comes before the inside. So too when it comes to ruchnius, it's impossible to attain real ruchnius without first going through a bechina of klipa. This bechina of hechle, the chidushei Torah versus this hechle hatmuras. Rabbi Nezal says it's impossible. V'dashe kol adam kanem shanzav Torah sod shalemes tzorich leilich behechrach. He says must. There's no way out. Must pass through this hechle atmurais. Avol, if that's the case, so now what? So we're all in the same boat. No, avol haklal. But the rule is she'osur litois ba'atzmoy. Person has to be very, very careful not to make a mistake about himself. Lisbon to think shekvar bo el ha-hasogo horoi, to chas v'shalom think that he has already achieved the hasaga in quotes, which we're going to explain soon. Ki'im yisbar, because if a person would ki'im yisbar came, because if a person will think like that, yishoyer sham chas v'shalom. In other words, what makes the difference between a person who's zeicha to enter into the state nichnas v'yotza b'shalom versus a person who goes in and doesn't come out? You know what the difference is? The one who fools himself, chas v'shalom. The one who, when he gets into this first level, he gets into kindergarten, and he sees he's learning and everything, and he begins to walk around like a college professor, that's the one who gets messed up, chas v'shalom. That's the one who gets lost. Acher went up there, he saw something he didn't understand. Big deal. Who asked you to understand? You went into the paradise, and you think you're in a position to understand what's going on there? He thought he used das der chas v'shalom. That's where there was a big arm. Rabbi Akiva went into the same, but he went into paradise. He went into chadrei Torah. That's part. Well, you can't ask for a better example. He went into paradise. He was nichnas v'yotza v'shalom. Why? Because he didn't forget himself. He didn't forget. He told Rabbi Akiva told his talmidim. You have a Torah. No, now from the Gutamaran. Where Rabbi Nizal quotes the Gemara, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva once told his talmidim kishemagiyan la'avnei shayish. Altaimru mayim mayim. In other words, when you get, he told them to distinguish, to be able to distinguish, you come to a place where it looks like water, and don't be fooled by it because it's not water. It's something that mayim mayim twice is sheker. MS is echod, Rav Enzel explains over there. Anything more than one is sheker, chas v'shalom. Which means you see that this takes tremendous seichel. And what type of seichel? Seichel anova. Note the punchline here. The whole punchline here, he says, you should know that both the biggest tzaddik can't get away without this. You know what the difference is? That the biggest tzaddik, while he's in this stage, he keeps his mouth closed. He doesn't talk. He goes through this stage privately by himself. He goes through this phase, and he realizes that he's on such a low level now that he's not in a position. Any Torah that he does see, even if he observes Chidushei Torah, he confines it, he restricts it. He's very, very cautious not to say a word in Torah. Why? Because he knows compared to his Rabbeim, or compared to the Likutei Halachas, or compared to the Kisvei Arizal, did you do the Aveda that they did? These were people who were Avdim. The Arizal, before he was Masid, we said Neshvachi Arizal. It says that he stayed up nights. He writes that there were certain nights where for 6 nights, from Sunday till Friday night, he stayed up every single night, breaking his head to try to understand Pshat in a Maimar Azayar, and he didn't understand it. And then he had a dream at night. Then he thought he achieved Pshat. He thought he got Pshat. He had a dream at night where they told him, you should know that the Pshat that you got is not the right Pshat. You got a first struggle now, much harder to get the right Pshat. He would go for another week or two, and he said, then he got it. He was Zechdi, he must say the right Pshat. And he wrote to Ruchaim Vitalzal that he cried tremendously, that he spent tremendous amount of time begging Hashem to be zeichet ha'asugas ha'Torah, to be zeichet understand the true pshat in the Zohar HaKadosh, in the Gemara, in these items, which means that this isn't an easy item. It's not normal, and unfortunately, people like us have a tremendous Yetzirah for this, and you can see why the Yetzirah. Well, it's because this is an evolutionary process. There's no way of getting. In other words, the person entering into Torah, you must pass through this phase. Even if you're one of the good ones who's from and you're trying to be religious, everything, you're trying to learn Torah Amiti, you, Rabbi Nachman said here, Behechrach, you must go through a phase. Therefore, you've got to be super cautious. The question is, how do you know when you've come out of this phase? The answer is that requires an authorization. That requires somebody has to tell you that you already have a Birur Hamadame where you're capable of being Mechadish Chidushei Torah. Why am I saying this? Because I saw this by our Rebbe Zichron Avrocha. I saw a situation where people at a certain point in time started getting a feeling. Why? Again, you look at our Sforim specifically, the Hasidish Sforim, the Sifrei Kabbalah, and you see certain patterns, and you begin to think that because they say that, well, whenever I see the sign of it, it means automatically this. And yet you're looking at Rabbeinu Zalman, sometimes you'll find in one place he uses Elikim to mean dim, and another place he says Elikim is Chesed. Now you go along, Beryl Shmerel, you come to a place where it says this word Elikim here, you think Elikim here is there, you think that Bria is a much higher level, you come to Yetzirah, Uberi Choshech, oh, I have a clear proof from the davening, in other words, this is, I have a new Seder to the Elamais. People thought, the Arizal thought he was Masid, sorry, correction, we're in the 1980s now, we've achieved a new level of understanding of Yedi and Tefillah, where Yetzirah is the high, what proof is, Yetzirah, Uberi Choshech. You see, it's possible to get tremendously confused in this. This is why, number one, a person has to be exceptionally careful in this. That's number one. And number two, a person has to know differences in levels, which means even when we deal in Kedusha, let's say you have tzaddikim today who are worthy of being Mechadesh in Torah, you have to still be aware that there's a difference. You can't compare this Chiddush in Torah to what's written in a Arizal, in a Bnei Yisachar, in a Bnei Zal Sforim. You have to be very cautious not to forget that there's a difference. In other words, that this is this and this is that. On one hand, you have the case of the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber of Shulchan Aruch, where there was once a case, I forget where it's brought in one of the Sforim, that he once davened very, very hard to be masig pshat in a certain item, in a certain Gemara, whatever it was, and he was zeichet to achieve it. He spent like a few weeks begging Hashem, being mispelled, to achieve pshat in a certain item. He was able to achieve it. That day, he came to shul, and he heard two people learning in shul. They were learning a Gemara, whatever it was, and they were learning pshat stam, and then one said to the other one this kasha that he had, and the other one answered him back the steretz. The Beis Yosef heard this, and he felt like something was wrong. He didn't understand, how could this be? Here, I had to work so hard for this, and it seems it came to them so easy. So he had a dream that night. He writes, I think it's brought in the Magid Mishnah. In other words, what he says, the Chizyonis that he saw, he had a Malach who taught him for a certain point in his life. And he writes that the Malach came to him that night and told him he should know a rule in Chidushei Torah, that once a Chidush in Torah is Nizgala in the world, once it's brought into the open, it becomes very, very easy for anybody to achieve it. In other words, it's the Hayloda, the act of giving birth, that's so, so hard. Bringing the Chidush out, Mihalam El Hagoli, that's the difficult part. Once it's been brought into the world, it's very easily attainable even by a common person. You were the one, he said, who had the Zechiah. You were the one who actually gave birth to this Chiddush in Torah. You brought it into this Olam HaAsiyah. Once it was here, Hashem showed you that even these two regular people learning, they were Zechiah to get it. How? Via you. Just like the Gemara says, any Novi, whoever said any Nevuah, how did the Nevuah come? Via Moshe Rabbeinu. There wasn't a single Novi who got Nevuah any way other than via Moshe Rabbeinu, via that intermediary. So now Rabbeinu Zal says, watch every word here. Rabbeinu Zal says, because when Rabbeinu Zal spoke about it at that time, Rabbeinu Zal heard certain things, and number one, he found a sheker in one of the items. A person said something, and the Gemara says sometimes if you want something to be accepted, you say it over in the name of, you hang yourself in an Ilan Gadol, you say it over in the name of somebody else, and people will accept it better. And Rabbeinu Zal, because he saw these two things mixed together, he blasted it at that time. In other words, he smashed it. And at that time, I recall, I don't remember whether he referenced this specifically or not, but in other words, number one, I definitely heard him mention this Torah in relation to that topic, or else I recall afterwards, whether it was learning the Likutei Moharan tapes, or learning this Torah afterwards, and watching how Rav Nosson Zal talks about this item in Likutei Halachos, that it became more obvious what Rabbeinu Zal was referring to. You have to picture with Rabbeinu Zal, what kind of an oyved, how thoroughly this person had learned through the basics in Torah, Shas, and Poiskin. Poiskin means Birur HaMadameh. Don't forget Rabbeinu Zal brings in Likutei Moharan that until a person is zeichah to be able to be Mavara, the Halacha, Lamaisa, until a person is able to distinguish between Kosher, Posel, Tomei, you can understand even the Gashmis that it's silly to say be Mechadesh, you're going to be Mechadesh in Chesed and it's really din, because you're not gifted with that item of being able to distinguish between day and night. In the Torah, these two things are mixed together. It's Me'urav, it's Eruv. That was the Pigama, the Eitz Hadas. If Adam Arishan had not eaten from the Eitz Hadas, the Tikkun Ezer says, we could have had it easy. There wouldn't have been any Kashyas in the Gemara. There wouldn't have been this whole bilbil, this whole confusion. Adam Arishan was faced with a choice of Eitz HaChayim, which was Kulay Toher, Kulay Toiv, or the Eitz Hadas, which was Toiv Vara, mixed together. Because he picked Toiv Vara, because of that, in order to be Mesakein that, we today have to suffer. We're put into this position where coming close to Hashem involves going into a Torah, which is kaviyachol, a jumble. In the Torah itself, the Gemara says, v'samtem, it's a samchaim, some of us. Imagine, already I decided to be religious, I've done the biggest sacrifice in the world. I gave up the chazer and the lights on Shabbos. I'm finally becoming religious, and they tell me I'm walking into a minefield. Literally, the Torah is a minefield. You step in the wrong place, you get blown to bits, chas v'shalom. And yet, this is the case. And Rabbeinu Zal says here that before a person can have any hasad amiti, he must go through this heichle atmuros. Rabbeinu Zal says, Rabbi Nachman says, "Ala klal shosur litois biatzmoi lisper shekar boel hasol koroi ki im yizbar kein yishor sham chas v'shalom." If the person thinks this, then the person chas v'shalom ends up remaining in that place, and he never gets to crawl out to get to the next level that he was supposed to get to, he could have gotten to. But because he forgot, because he wasn't able to be mocked in himself at that point, he gets stuck in that place, and he doesn't get to the Peiri Chas V'Shem. Avol kisheyeda adayin. Avol kisheyeda she'adayin lo yischa lichmeis l'chadrei ha'Torah amitiyin. But if the person understands about himself that he has not yet been zeicha to enter into the chadrei Torah ho'amitiyin, not that he hasn't entered into the Torah, we're not saying he's not a ben Torah, he hasn't learned. We're saying that there's countless levels, there's infinite levels here. If the person will acknowledge that he hasn't achieved his Rebbe's level, or he certainly hasn't achieved the level of the tzaddikim in the 1800s or in the 1500s or the Rishonim, or you know, all the different levels, the Tanom and Amoroyim, Azai is chazek b'avodas Hashem, then the person will strengthen himself in avodas Hashem, v'yirbe b'tfilois, and he'll spend a tremendous amount of time davening, v'yaftzir, and he'll put on the pressure, he'll push tremendously. He'll insist that Hashem open up for him the Shari HaKidusha Bo'emes, that Hashem take him out of this cloud, this in-between state, this Tov HaRa, and bring him into the real Shari Kedusha. V'oz Yira HaHeflesh. And then the person will be zeicha to see the difference between what he had before versus what he has now. V'afilu V'afit. Now note, still room for error. Rabbi Nezal qualifies further. And even if a person has done a tremendous amount of avodah, and he has fasted a lot, and he's gone through a lot of sigufin, tortures, he's accepted upon himself yisurim, where the Gemara says that there's nothing, just like salt cleans out the blood, the treif blood from a piece of meat. The Gemara says yisurim, the Pasuk says the word bris by yisurim, to show that Yisurin suffering is mamarik, the avoinus of a person. It takes out, it extracts the sins of a person. Even after a person went through all this, Tanaisim and Sigufim, Bishvil Hashem Yisporach, we're not talking about a Shelei Lishmo here, we're talking about a real, from person, V'achakach Zocho L'chidushin, and after that, he finds that he's starting to be Mechadish in Torah, Afal Pikein Al Yamoid Al Zeh Lizbor Shehem Hasogei Shelem Esanal, the person should not assume to think that these hasogos are really hasogos shalemes, ki afilu lahadimyoinoi shalhechli hatmurois tzorich uvdois v'taneisim. Because to get to that level, to get into the level where you're being mechadish Torah, which comes from the hechli hatmurois, that requires a tremendous level of avodah and sigufim to get to that point. Va'afilu, period.